tried to save her. She'll do the rides. I give you a scab. She stopped up at a Dana Costa, Arizona. I was thinking about a friend I left behind. I stopped up at a Dana. I tried to phone her and
you're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM, the University of Richmond Radio Station.
You know, we're missing something really exciting downstairs. I went out and got us some sodas. The kids are playing. The kids are playing something that it's either the dating game or guess who I got an STD from, because it's like a girl that has three guys on the other side and they're asking them these questions. I don't remember them doing that when I was doing shows here.
Were they embarrassing questions?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you were a cucumber.
Okay, we don't need to finish that one. I hear where you're going with that, though. Hey, a couple quick announcements. If you were hoping to head down to the Hollywood Grill to see Country Sunshine, the fantabulous Lee Harris Band, that show has been canceled because of a burst water pipe. And this is community radio at its best. We're in the midst of the Brian Harvey musical tribute. We've got a lot of fun guests and visitors and friends up here in the studio. And we're just cranking through some music. Here is the House of Freaks live on WKCRW.
But you're listening to DCE
tonight on Snap that has attracted an incredible audience of people. There are dozens of people here. That's okay. You can make some noise. It's fine with me. I think the band would like to know it. What we have is House of Freaks, which is a twosome, Brian Harvey and Johnny Hot, who I first saw performing at McCabe's, having been alerted to this band by Freddie Mark Linkus of the Dancing Hoods, and there started to be a bit of a buzz, and it's grown and grown and grown in a very short period of time. Los Angeles has taken this band completely to heart, so I'm going to turn you over to them, to Brian Harvey and Johnny Hot, House of Freaks, live on Snap.
All righty. Here's one for Gary Stewart.
And light in New Mexico, and everyone was there to watch the great experiment of Robert and his heirs. The city and the desert.
the dirt and the stone, turn humans into ashes, cattle into bone. Was lifted into play. Fat boy dug a hole in the ground big enough for the whole human race. The radiant 7,000 suns in one cataclysmic blast shattered every dreamer's hope from the first out to the last. Well, I wish we were sorry.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
House of Freaks, thank you all for coming and doing this live show.
Where I get my peace.
All right, it's live radio there, folks. That's what makes it so beautiful. You're in the middle of the Brian Harvey tribute up here on WDCE 90.1 FM. We're up here with a whole bunch of really fun, cool people who are just sitting here thinking about Brian Harvey and the bands he's played with, the music he's made over the years. A tribute to Brian Harvey. And we're taking this time to ask you to please consider, looking into the Brian and Kathy Harvey Family Memorial Endowment. It's a charitable organization through the Community Foundation that asks you to give them money so that they can give grants to local arts organizations. We're also up here talking tonight about notwiththesehands.org, which is a an organization here in town now that doesn't ask for your money. Instead, they want you just to make a personal commitment in some sort of artistic way towards helping make Richmond a much less violent community. Notwiththesehands.org, and the other one is www.tcfrichmond.org. All righty. Well, we have a special guest online. Are we ready to go with this? Okay.
Right, I think we need to hit speakerphone first, right?
Well, let's see. Are you hello?
I think we got to hit speakerphone.
Speakerphone. Okay.
Johnny, you there?
I am there.
All right, yeah. Oh, could you say something? Check 1-2 for us there? Johnny? I think we hung up on Johnny. Johnny, call back.
Can you hear me? Can you feel me near you?
Call back there, brother. Sorry about that. We didn't hit speakerphone quickly enough. There you go. Yeah. All right, you're back. Johnny, you're back.
Right now.
All right, here we go.
Don't hang it up that time.
Okay. All right. So could you say something for us?
Something for us.
There you go. All right. So we're talking with Johnny. Fontaine will let you take the...
Oh, well... Hey, are you there, Johnny?
Hi, Fontaine.
Okay, so let's see. We're so slick professionally. Do you have a story or something you wanted to share with us, perhaps, about Brian Harvey?
Many stories, but I guess the one you're referring to is the one I started to tell you earlier today. When I was on tour with House of Freaks, I was running monitor sound and kind of roadieing for them, and... they were opening for the Bangles on a big national tour.
I waved at you from the stage from that tour.
It was myself, Johnny and Brian, and Peter Bantha. Some of you might remember. He was running sound. And we were in a little van, and the Bangles were always jealous of our freedom because they were stuck on a big tour bus and had to do all kinds of promotion stuff. And we got to do fun things, like, for example, go to Harper's Ferry. So then when we hooked back up with the Bangles, they wanted to know all about it. We had bought them hats, I believe, or T-shirts, and then they wanted to hear all about it. So I think it was Brian's idea to perform an interpretive dance of the capture of John Brown at Harper's Ferry. I do remember that Brian played Man's Inhumanity to Man. I think I was John Brown. I want to say that Johnny was Harper's Ferry. it's a little shaky to me, but I do remember the Bangles thought it was wonderful, and I can kind of picture it in my head, but you really had to sort of be there, or you would have to be with me now, and I could kind of do my part. But that was the funniest story. There was one other story is when the Bangles would do the song Eternal Flame, in the video, Susanna Hoffs drops to her knees at some point in the song. And when they would do it live on this tour, she was choreographed, I guess, to drop down on her knees in that exact same place in the song when they played it live. Well, when we were backstage, they would pipe the what was going on stage backstage so we could all hear it. So we could hear that song, and we started getting in the habit of dropping to our knees every time that certain point in the song where we knew that Susanna Hoffs was dropping to her knees. And it was pretty funny because we would just start doing it automatically, and there would be lots of people backstage, record people. I remember one time the guitar player for the Hoodoo Gurus who was going out with Mickey, the bass player, was there in New York, and we were all just backstage, you know, grazing at the Deli Platter, and suddenly that song came on, and just without thinking, at this certain point, we all dropped to our knees without explanation. So that was, people thought that that was sort of strange.
Am I
but we
really
just tried
dreaming?
To amuse ourselves, and I missed that time. It was a great time. We all got along great, like, you know, brothers, and I think about that time a lot lately, thinking about Brian and what happened.
Yeah. Those are some great stories. Thanks for sharing. I don't know. I have nothing intelligent I can say after that, so go ahead, Mike.
I do an interpretive dance at the John Brown Wax Museum. I'll show you sometime.
Great.
By the way, Johnny,
we'll have an interpretive dance off.
That's it. That's what we need to do.
By the way, Johnny, this is...
I can't be there. If you can hear, my voice is very froggy. I'm sick. I really wanted to come down, but my prayers are with you all.
Well, by the way, Johnny, this is Todd. I wanted to say we've been reminiscing about all the great music. Well, we've got Xeroxes up here of old issues of Throttle magazine. And just looking at some of the Rocket, who was playing at Rockets on a given month is just mind-boggling. Every week you had to make decisions. Am I going to see the Hoodoo Gurus, speaking of the Hoodoo Gurus, or am I going to go down to the Jade Elephant and see the Lemonheads? I mean, you had to actually make those kind of decisions on a nightly basis here in Richmond. It was unbelievable because they'd always be playing on the, you know, any given night there'd be three or four great bands. And Johnny's been a big part of some of those bands. If I remember correctly, of course, the Useless Playboys.
Las Vegas Hillbillies.
The Las Vegas Hillbillies.
Snake Handlers and Mystagogues.
That's right. Those were the two I was about to say as well.
Dead, Blind, Gone, maybe?
Johnny Hot was in the Snake Handlers.
Yeah. Oh, tell us a story about, you were telling me earlier today, Johnny, about how Snake Handlers would practice a certain place and then something else was getting ready to start up. Remember?
Yeah, well, when we were in the second version of the Snake Handlers where Johnny Hot was drumming, Steve Douglas and Paul Watson on guitar, Jeannie Freeman singing, and I was playing bass. We used to practice up on Fulton Hill, and that's when Brian and Johnny first got together as the House Freaks, and they would practice after us in Johnny's space in the Fulton Hill School. And so we would practice, and then we would all pack up our gear, and Brian would show up, and they would practice, and so we would kind of do an overlap, and we saw them, you know, when they first started, before they ever started playing out. I was saying I wish I would have recorded some of that, but alas, it's just a memory.
The generation of a new and great band, House of Freaks.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask Todd, Xeroxes of Old Throttles, is there the issue with me on the cover in my getup that I'm on in the All My Friends album?
We have the record with us with that photo in brilliant color.
Yeah, we have the 12-inch vinyl up here, and we were just remarking on that. Yeah, I actually have, as does Ann Henderson, the wonderful editor of Throttle, editor and publisher of Throttle. We have copies of that issue. If you ever want to get some pictures of that, contact myself or Ann.
And I've got those photo
copies,
too.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, I remember that fondly.
John, I remember when you were on the cover of the magazine, and you remember, if you can hear me, when you hit the, you were up on the cross, you know, you were, they were raising money for you. And I wanted to say that I'm very upset that they took that picture of you on the cross down at William & Mary, and we've started a new website. Put Johnny Checa back on the cross at William & Mary. And we got support coming in from all over the state over that.
That must be the Christopher Wren Building controversy, huh?
God bless you, Mike.
That's the Wren Harrell Building, actually, down there.
Okay. Thank you, John. We've got to get you back up on the cross.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great night. You know, bless you for what you're doing, and good luck, and give all my love to all the friends who are there. I'm sure lots of my other friends are there.
Well, if we do this in a third year, and who knows if we might, we'll get you up here that year, okay? I promise?
Okay. I promise. Oh, I've got a call. Got to go.
All right.
All right.
See you here, John.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, well, we got another song. What do we got?
Okay.
Settle down, boys. It's only rock and roll on WDCE 90.1 FM.
Buggles, good night.
Brian Harvey gave us a world of innovative music and technology. His wife, Catherine, gave us a world of mirth. Their two children shared joy with everyone they knew. In memory of this loving Richmond family, their friends and relatives have established the Brian and Catherine Harvey Family Memorial Endowment at the Community Foundation, with all contributions benefiting music, visual art, and performing arts in the Richmond community. You have the power to turn tragedy into triumph. Call 330-7400 or go to tcfrichmond.org.
All right, you're listening to WDCE Richmond, 90.1 FM, the voice of UR. This is the Lone Ranger again. Nice to be back here after all these years. I want to thank Fontaine and Todd Ranson, who Todd's going on a munchie run or something. Okay. And once again, Armistead Relford reports the police sighting says he was last seen leaving the University Commons building. All right. So anyway, we just heard the Steve Wynn Quartet, which is basically members of Gutterball with Days of Wine and Roses, popular Dream Syndicate song. Before that, we heard from Brian Harvey's apparently totally unreleased solo album. I guess there's people such as Kobe Bryant that has copies of that. That was My Blue Machine before that. All right, just to remind you again that tonight we do want to bring a lot of awareness to the Brian and Kathy Harvey Foundation. So make sure to check it out on tcfrichmond.com. Your gifts are...
.org.
You're right, .org.
Blue piece of paper.
It's on the blue piece of paper up here, yes. So make sure to consider making a donation to the Harvey Family Memorial Endowment. Gifts are tax deductible, and they go in to support the arts here in Richmond and children's and families all in the area here. So that's one of the other reasons we wanted to do the show tonight. Of course, the main reason to celebrate Brian's music. Remind you, Plan 9 still has copies of Remember Me Well, Brian Harvey, 1956 to 2006, which is a wonderful compilation of Brian's music with tracks from Boys from Skateland. I actually saw Boys from Skateland several times myself. The Dads, wow. House of Freaks, Brian Harvey's unreleased solo album, Poi Boy, his Hawaiian band, beautiful cover, Moon River, actually, Energy Crisis, his last band, and of course, the title track, Remember Me Well. So it's well worth having. If it's not in your collection, I only have one question for you. Why? All right. Fontaine, what would you like to say?
Last year, I haven't looked at Rhino's website lately, but as of last year, you could get re-released copies of the first two House of Freaks CDs with expanded track list. The All My Friends EP, for example, was included on, I think, the Tantilla re-release from House of Freaks, mm-hmm. and also Monkey on a Chain Gang. But they were only selling them on Rhino.com, with the special exception last year of Plan 9 had a limited amount available just because of the tragic events from last January 1st. But if you're interested in getting a copy, go to Rhino.com, and they may still have copies of two House of Freaks CDs available.
Is it in the handmade section? Or
it's been a long time since I went on the okay. website. But
if you don't see it in the regular section, look in the handmade section. It's like a little special section of things. That's where I got Dolly Harris turned me on to get in my Jack Webb CD.
Jack Webb.
Yeah, A Romantic Evening with Jack Webb.
Oh, well.
Love songs as tender and sweet as any reading of the Miranda Act you've ever heard.
Now, he was married to, what's her name?
Julie London.
Which blew me away when I learned that. How in the heck did this beautiful woman marry Jack Webb from Dragnet?
You know, just this is really obscure trivia, but, you know, Frankie Lane, who died this week, mm-hmm. was married to Nan Gray. You don't know who it is immediately, but she was a star in Universal horror movies in the 30s and 40s. She was in Dracula's Daughter and The Invisible Man Returns and, I believe, Tower of London.
Now, you would know that.
I would know that.
You exactly. are definitely the keeper or the collector of that sort of
information. I'm a classic horror movie fan, so I know that kind of stuff. John Checker, you check that out. All right. All right, we want to play some more Gutterball here. This is Gutterball doing a classic Alice Cooper song, and let's go ahead and get into that. It's great stuff. Thanks for listening to WDCE here on the Brian Harvey Tribute.
Yeah.
You can never gentlemen, feast your eyes on the portal. Look what's coming through there. Man, she's from somewhere else, man. She's from another planet or something. I don't know who she is, where she came from, why her mama did that to her.
Who's that lady?
Beautiful lady.
Who's that lady?
Lovely lady.
Who's that lady?
She's a real fine lady.
Who's that lady?
Hear me calling out to you, cause it's all that I can do. Your eyes tell me to pursue, but you say look, yeah, but don't touch, baby.
Na 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 na, don't touch, baby.
Who's that lady?
Who's that lady?
Sexy lady.
Who's that lady?
Beautiful lady.
Who's that lady?
She's a real fine lady.
Who's that lady?
I would dance upon a string, and any gift she wanna bring, I would give her anything if she would just do what I say.
Don't go.
Yeah.
I have a vision of love.
What is your vision for nonviolence in our community?
Help create a pledge of nonviolence for Greater Richmond. Send in your vision by Friday, April 20th.
You can sing it,
build it,
paint it,
film it,
however you want to do it.
Send it by mail to notwiththesehands.org, P.O. Box 12226, Richmond, Virginia, 23220. Or do it online,
www.notwiththesehands.org. Create a vision of nonviolence.
It's your community, so make it your pledge.
Brian Harvey gave us a world of innovative music and technology. His wife, Catherine, gave us a world of mirth. Their two children shared joy with everyone they knew. In memory of this loving Richmond family, their friends and relatives have established the Brian and Catherine Harvey Family Memorial Endowment at the Community Foundation, with all contributions benefiting music, visual art, and performing arts in the Richmond community. You have the power to turn tragedy into triumph. Call 330-7400 or go to tcfrichmond.org.
You're listening to the Brian Harvey Tribute here on WDCE Richmond 90.1 FM. It's the voice of VR. This is the Lone Ranger. It's good to be back here tonight. Also to remind you that the Brian Harvey Tribute album, Remember Me Well, covering Brian, 20 years about of Brian's musical career. Still a copy still available at Plan 9. All proceeds go to the Brian and Catherine Harvey. 100% of this record goes to the Brian and Catherine Harvey Foundation, which all the gifts are tax deductible that you send to the foundation. They go to help enrichment of the arts here in Richmond, different families here in Richmond. It's just a great foundation. We're glad that you're listening to Brian's music here tonight. We hope that you'll buy a copy of the CD and consider making a contribution to the foundation. Check it out this time. I'm going to get it right this time, Fontaine, I promise you. www.tcfrichmond.org. All righty. Fontaine has been donated. This is pretty rare.
Well, actually, what this is John Wirt, who was formerly a music reviewer here in Richmond for many years, now living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's been listening to the station for the last year especially, and he heard about this radio show that we were doing this week, and he put together with some associates of his down there in Baton Rouge, put together this little CD with interview excerpts. Back in 1987, John Wirt was out in Los Angeles when Johnny Hot and Brian Harvey had just moved out there maybe 6 months earlier. And he's going to tell you about it. He's excerpted parts of this interview and put it together in a neat little package for us to air. And it's about the moving out there. And he's going to introduce it at the beginning of the CD, so he'll kind of set it up for you.
This is when he was working for the Daily Bugle with J. Jonah Jameson, or am I right? No. No, John Wirt. And this Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Yes.
We're really glad to have this from John. All right, let's go here. This is a very rare interview with Brian Harvey and Johnny Hot.
After a frustrating year of trying to make something happen in Richmond, Virginia, singer-guitarist Brian Harvey and drummer Johnny Hot, otherwise known as House of Freaks, drove across the continent to Los Angeles in February 1987. They traveled in two vehicles, one of them Johnny's 1967 Ford van, which doubled as their band transport, and House Painter's truck. By summer, word in Richmond was that Brian and Johnny were about to sign a record deal. I'm John Wirt. I was writing freelance music stories and reviews in Richmond during most of the 80s. So when I went to visit my brother in Los Angeles in the summer of 87, we went to see Brian and Johnny. Hearing the interview we did that day from the distance of 20 years, I respect these guys more now than ever. They had integrity and abundance of talent, and they knew exactly what they wanted to accomplish.
Now the tape recorder's on. Nobody says anything.
I used to see you guys, I can say this later in the future, come into CJ's sub shop on your breakup.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I did see you. That's right. Yeah, we were painting with Bruce. In fact, these are my painting shorts, and I cut them off. My painting pants, I cut them off today. I said, well, hopefully I won't ever have to use these again.
So it's mid-February. There's snow on the ground and everything. All right. What brings you to this decision to come all the way out here?
Well, nothing was happening in Richmond, really.
Or anywhere, really, you could play. You know, we played
the South
all the way down to Birmingham, mm-hmm. You know, and places in between, went up to Pittsburgh a couple times.
We had sent out tapes in about last summer, all these independents. And in fact, originally we were determined to stay in Richmond and be a Richmond band who was gonna make it, you know. But we couldn't do it. We couldn't book shows out here. We had a little bit of interest from like Rhino Records here, but not enough to do anything about. Nothing was happening, and we were calling these places, and they're going, "Yeah, the tape's good," and that was it.
Let's just go.
Let's go, because there's so many bands out there in LA now that are making it that, and we felt we were better than. Certainly, nothing was ever going to happen in Richmond, unfortunately, you know, because there is some good music there, but there's no record industry there. So it just seemed logical that you go, you place yourself where the music business is.
Basically, what we did was one day we were painting. We were both on ladders, and I know the house too.
So
I mean, we were, and we said, if we go to LA, we can make it. And so we just said, yeah, let's do it.
And then that's when we started getting popular in Richmond. When people found out we weren't going to be around, people started coming to see us. It was really crazy, but we couldn't get booked in Richmond. Rockets wouldn't book us, and if they did book us, they gave us a screw deal.
Yeah.
You know? We made a point of telling people almost every show that we're from Richmond, Virginia, because our intent is not to come out and get right in with the hip LA crowd. Because, you know, we hang out with Paul and Mark Link is from Dancing Hoods, who's from Charlottesville. And,
well, even in this Cashbox thing, it says Richmond, Virginia, so yeah.
It's just, we're making a point to tell people that that's where we're from, because we're not an LA band, you know. All our experiences are from the Southeast and Richmond. And we were kind of right about this sort of thing.
And what's happened is, especially at the beginning, we come out here and we're in LA, and even though we're here and things are happening, we don't like it. And so, Paul's in the bathroom and he's doing... What's happened is, when it's like being away from something that you really... you like a lot, and or you love, you know, and you miss, and that becomes even close. Well, at first, yeah. I mean, our family's there, our friends are there, and that stuff becomes closer and dearer to you, you know, and that's what happened. Is
we didn't really want it. I mean, we really wanted to stay in Richmond and make it out of there, just because it would have given us more integrity, we felt, but we couldn't do it. So when we came out here, we wanted to sort of keep as much of that sort of Richmond perspective or attitude.
That's your identity.
Exactly. Right.
And
it's part of our music too. I mean, we're not just sort of a pop band. We actually write about things. But what has always given music its character, from folk music to everything, is its regionalism. You know? And even in this country, the bands that I think are most interesting in rock and roll are the ones that have that sort of regional character, you know, R.E.M. or
it's been real easy for us to maintain that identity, our Southern identity. In fact, once we played a club and we were painting, and we painted, we had our own company, you know, we put out an ad, we didn't work for anybody else, so we had to finish this job, bless you, we had to finish this job that day, so it put us real close to the time of playing at this club. We didn't do a sound check or anything. So we came in, we had our painting clothes on, we had our bandanas on, you know, and it was like people were like
gasoline.
Yeah, you guys are really from Richmond, man. The sound.
Several major labels courted House of Freaks in LA, but Brian and Johnny preferred to take the indie label route.
But see, we pretty much were not very reverent towards majors anyhow. Mm-hmm. We came out here looking for an independent and had a kind of contempt for the big labels, because I don't like anything that those labels put out. I don't like anything the big labels put out as far as rock and roll goes. Now Columbia puts out the Chieftains or some of their classical series or things like that.
It's almost classical music.
Yeah, right.
It's more interesting, but rock and roll is just pure product for making money.
Right.
For the most part, I think it stinks.
Along those lines too, is the guy, another guy from a major label asked us, who we want it to sound like. That's what he asked us. Can you believe it? This is a head A&R guy.
I believe it.
You know, and we just like looked at each other and laughed and said, well, we just want to sound like ourselves, you know?
Before Brian and Johnny went to L.A., Rhino Records A&R man Gary Stewart knew of them through the tape they'd submitted to Rhino. He was interested, but he'd yet to hear House of Freaks in concert. He thought this two-man band needed a bass player.
And so Brian talked to him, and he said, look, we're moving out there. Before you make a decision,
come
hear us. He goes, definitely come here. So after the third gig, he came and flipped out. He literally flipped out. And, I mean, you know, it was lunch the next day. So
he's like, I'm wrong. He said, my mistake, I was wrong. You don't need a bass player.
I know.
He said, you guys are great.
And now that House of Freaks had gotten a record deal, would other bands from Richmond follow Brian and Johnny to the land of swimming pools, movie stars, and record companies?
I think that at one time in Richmond, you'd have everything, original music from ranging from The Limit or The Dads to famous actors, right. You know, and The Good Guys and AA and Cashmere Jungle Lords. Right. A lot of different types of bands doing some pretty competent music there. And if all those bands were out here, you know, they'd all be signed. They'd all be the hip underground scene.
So if I quote you and put it in the paper, they're all coming.
No, wait, they're going to want to stay here.
They're not
anyway.
Oh, right. No.
There are a lot of rich
okay,
people
Cashmere
here.
Jungle Lord,
not musicians, but we were thinking at one time it'd be kind of cool to have like everybody that was from Richmond that was living here to like own a block here, because we could definitely fill it up and have like Little Richmond.
Yeah, so Little Richmond, like
if you
Korea.
Weren't, yeah, if you weren't born or hadn't lived like for 5 years in Richmond, you couldn't live on this block. You know, it would be like really
elite. Does that mean you'd hire a dirt woman to come out and walk the street?
Brian and Johnny's deal with Rhino Records produced two great albums and an EP. They made their major label debut in 1991 with Cakewalk. Although House of Freaks toured and opened for Midnight Oil, The Bangles, and others, they did not sell millions of records. But from an artistic point of view...